Hey, can 14,000 people be wrong? I don't think so. You should follow us. We're the Joe and Alex Show, and we're on Instagram and Twitter, too. It's at Joe and Alex Show. All right, buckle up. It's time for Murder Monday.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, and hey, the whole reason why we do Murder Monday is to bring awareness and attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips. Here's their number. You should really write it down and keep it. 800-22-TIPS. That number one more time is 1-800-22-TIPS. All right, Alex, what are you doing today for Murder Monday?
Evil stalked a Florida college town for four straight days in August of 1990. To this day, the residents of Gainesville, Florida, still have trouble talking about the pain that was inflicted on their close-knit community by Danny Rowling. You may also know him as the Gainesville Ripper.
If you think of the crimes, we always think of the worst as murder, sexual battery, abduction, home invasion. He brought them all together, and he did them night after night.
Danny Rowling is born in Shreveport, Louisiana. His father is a local police officer, but he's not a kind man. From birth, Danny's father constantly tells him that he's unwanted, and he abuses Danny's mom, Claudia, and his brother right in front of him. One night, Danny's mom has to go to the hospital after Danny's dad tries to make her cut herself with a razor blade.
Oh my gosh.
She tries leaving often, but she always ends up coming back. And Danny's dad was a brutal disciplinarian, too. When he wasn't getting physical, he was using things like humiliation and verbal abuse as a way to control his family. And at one point, Danny's dad gets so angry with him, he pins him to the ground, handcuffs him, and has his police friends take him away because he's embarrassed by him. All of the abuse that Danny endures as a child starts to manifest in Danny as a teenager. He gets busted all the time for robberies. He gets caught peeping on a woman as she's getting dressed at home. And as a young adult, Danny has a really hard time keeping a steady job. In May of 1990, Danny seems to be close to reaching his boiling point. While home and visiting his family, Danny gets into an argument with his dad, and things get so out of control, he tries to kill him. Danny's dad ends up losing an eye and an ear, but survives.
What? Holy crap.
A few months after Danny's brutal attack on his dad, summer is starting to come to an end. It's now August of 1990, and school is about to begin. Thousands of students are enrolled at the University of Florida, and two of those students are freshmen, 17-year-old Sonia Larson and Christina Powell. Police get a phone call to do a welfare check from Christina and Sonia's parents, who haven't heard from them in a few days. And this isn't uncommon, especially for parents of freshmen. You know, the officer on the phone is like, oh, I'm sure this isn't a problem. I'll be happy to look, but, you know, basically is reassuring the parents that, like, they're probably having fun and making friends. They're just starting college. They didn't probably think to call you. Well, when the officer gets there, he sees that Christina's car is parked outside, but no one is answering the door of their new apartment.
Sonia, Christina, Gainesville Police Department, can you open the door, please? Officer Barber, I have a victim down. I'm gonna need EMS. Send backup. We need a patrol supervisor, too.
What police discover are the bodies of 17-year-old Sonia Larson and Christina Powell, who had been brutally murdered and mutilated 2 days prior. The previous Friday, in the dark early morning hours when both girls were sound asleep, Danny Rowling had quietly unlocked their apartment door. In a ski mask, Danny first sees Christina asleep on the couch. He stands over her, watching her as she sleeps for a moment before changing his mind and choosing to explore one of the bedrooms where Sonia is sleeping. Danny wakes up Sonia and tapes her mouth shut to stifle her screams before stabbing her to death. Sonia died while trying to fend him off, and then Danny walks back to the couch where Christina is still passed out. He tapes Christina's mouth shut and binds her wrists together behind her back. As he cuts off her clothes, he threatens her with a knife. After sexually assaulting her, Danny forces Christina to lay down on the floor where he stabs her 5 times in the back. What he does next to the girls' bodies will become a signature move of the Gainesville Ripper. He poses Christina and Sonia's bodies in sexually provocative positions using hand mirrors. But before he leaves, he takes a shower in the same apartment of the women that he had just murdered.
Whoa.
The very next night, Danny picks another University of Florida student to be his victim. This time, it's 18-year-old Krista Hoyt. open the sliding glass door on her first floor apartment, Danny gets inside and realizes she's not home. He decides to wait for her in the dark all night long. Eventually, after a night out, Krista returns home, totally unaware of who is waiting for her inside of her dark apartment. The story of the Gainesville Ripper continues next with Murder Monday.
All right, the reason why we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips, and the way you do that is you give them a call. Their number, 800-222-TIPS. That's 800-222-TIPS. Alex, you're continuing the story today about the Gainesville Ripper.
Yes, and you can see photos of him, the victims, different parts and intricate, you know, things and details that are important for this crime on Instagram right now at Joe and Alex Show. 9 hours after police discover the bodies of college freshmen Sonia Larson and Christina Powell, they get a call to check on another teenager 2 miles away. This time it's 18-year-old Krista Hoyt. Krista is studying chemistry at the University of Florida and ironically wants to be a crime lab tech. Krista had been out late, and what she didn't know was that someone was waiting for her in the dark inside of her apartment. It was the Gainesville Ripper. After she had walked inside, Danny creeps up behind her, startling her. Placing her in a chokehold, he tapes her mouth shut, binds her wrists, and forces her into her bedroom where he sexually assaults her and stabs her in the back multiple times, rupturing her heart. But unlike his first two victims, Danny is even more violent with the victim's body. Danny decapitates Krista and sets her head on a bookshelf facing her provocatively posed and mutilated body. He had also removed Krista's nipples to keep as souvenirs.
The crime scenes were terrible. The killer was somebody who was obviously a histrionic personality. Liked to stage and make a production out of the events. And when you found them, they were that way. The bodies were posed. They were posed in sexually explicit positions, or they were posed in positions designed to terrify people when they walked into the crime scene.
It's clear that the violence is now escalating, and police in Gainesville know that they have a full-blown serial killer on their hands. Students and parents are hysterical. Female students start sleeping together in groups, having slumber parties with their friends, hoping that it would prevent the Gainesville Ripper from choosing them as their next victim. Girls start changing their normal daily routines, taking different routes to and from school and work. And several students actually withdraw their enrollment to the University of Florida and transfer to other schools. 23-year-old Tracy Paulez is living with her roommate and lifelong friend, Manny Tabota. She was a homecoming queen and he was a football star. With the same tools that Danny Rowling, a.k.a. the Gainesville Ripper, had used the night before to break into Krista Hoyt's apartment, Danny pries open the sliding glass door of Tracy and Manny's place. Danny finds Manny asleep in one of the bedrooms. Manny fights for his life and Tracy's, but eventually is killed. Tracy wakes up after hearing the commotion and sees Danny standing over Manny's body. Tracy runs, barricading herself in her bedroom, but Danny breaks down her door. He tapes her mouth and wrists and cuts off her clothing. Tracy has the same fate as those before her. Her body is posed in the Gainesville Ripper signature fashion, but Manny's is left alone. Besides Manny, all of the victims were petite, white, and brunette with brown eyes. At first, law enforcement has very few leads to who's doing this, but eventually police identify two suspects. One is a University of Florida student who has a history of mental illness and had numerous scars on his face from a car accident. The news loved this because...
Of course, that's your guy.
Right, the only thing that makes a terrifying serial killer better for ratings is a scary-looking killer, so his photo is shown repeatedly by media outlets, but authorities end up publicly clearing this guy of all charges, and the other suspect is also later cleared. Several days after Danny Rowling is arrested on a burglary charge, and police notice that this guy that they're arresting for this burglary also has tools that were used to break into the Gainesville Ripper's apartments. So they check out where this Danny guy is living, and it's even more alarming. Danny is living in a tiny one-man camp near apartments frequently used by students and one of the victims. Inside, investigators find a journal of disturbing drawings that you can see on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show, and several recordings. What are the recordings of? They're of Danny himself, singing country songs that he had written, and the lyrics describe his crimes. Danny Rowling, otherwise known as the Gainesville Ripper, is charged with several counts of murder in November of 1991, and he claims that he wanted to be a superstar like serial killer Ted Bundy. 3 years later, just before his trial is about to begin, Danny pleads guilty to all of his charges and is sentenced to death for each count. After that, police in Louisiana alert the authorities in Florida that, well, wait a minute, You know, we have an unsolved triple murder from Danny's hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana. And there are a lot of similarities between the Gainesville murders and the murders of this 55-year-old guy named William Grissom, his 24-year-old daughter Julie, and his 8-year-old grandson Sean. The family had been attacked in their house as they were preparing for dinner, and afterwards, Julie Grissom's body had also been mutilated, cleaned, and posed. Well, Danny Rowling ends up giving his pastor and Florida police a handwritten confession and apology, admitting to those triple murders and, you know, of course, all the Gainesville Ripper murders. So he admits to murders that happened 17 years prior to the Gainesville Ripper murders as well.
Those are so disturbing, by the way, just hearing about that and seeing stuff. It's like,
I know.
Wow.
And in 2006, Danny Rowling is executed by lethal injection at Florida State Prison, but not before enjoying his last meal. I always find this interesting when killers are on death row, what their last meal is before they're killed. So before his execution, Danny enjoys lobster tail served with drawn butter, butterfly shrimp with cocktail sauce, a baked potato with sour cream and butter, strawberry cheesecake and sweet tea. When Danny is asked if he wants to say any last words, he says no and instead sings a gospel hymn. His victim's relatives stand by and watch his execution. His murders inspired Kevin Williamson to write the 1996 slasher film Scream. He's the subject of countless other movies, TV shows, and books. That is the story of the Gainesville Ripper.
Wow, that is awesome. I never realized that it was connected either to the actual Scream movies being written.
I know. I had no idea that the Scream movies were actually inspired by a true story. So super interesting if you're a horror movie buff like I am, but you have to go see the photos, the drawings that he made, what he looked like, his mask that he wore for his crimes, the victims, a memorial that Gainesville has always kept up in honor of the victims. Just really interesting photos on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. We do this every single Monday at this time, only on Radio Now.